morning, June 7th, we are living in unprecedented times, which means there's no precedent, there's no example for the things that are occurring right now. Amid the coronavirus, the stay-at-home order, physical distancing, the world is now protesting under the banner of Black Lives Matter. And somebody asked me the other day, what does that mean? Does that mean that other lives don't matter? No, it just means that that's where the emphasis needs to be right now. All lives matter, but the lives that need this attention right now are Black lives. If there was a fire on my street and the fire engine came down, my house matters. Now, other houses, they matter too, but they're not on fire. So the youth have precipitated a protest movement that is larger than the youth movement of the 1960s. And this time, whites and every ethnicity are joining in the protest, praise God. While all this is very fluid and we can't predict the outcome, it's interesting to live at this pivotal moment in history. In fact, there's so much chaos going on that you need a refuge. Consequently, I want to work my way through Psalm 46, where God is touted as our refuge. But before we do that, let's prepare ourselves for the word through singing. Music is going to be provided this morning by Pastor Kathy Johnson. Go ahead and receive her. You want to stand up at home? All right, give receive her by saying amen.
Love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I worship and I adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more. And I adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I worship and I adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.
Oh,
got to have you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Gotta have you, gotta have you, Jesus. Oh, oh, I seek for you, Jesus. Hey, I live for you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more, 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 more than anything. Yes, God. Yeah.
Father, we love you today more than anything, more than cars and houses, clothes, shoes. We love you more than life itself. And we thank you for your blessing during this season. Well, I thank you when I woke up this morning, my mind was staying on you. I want to come out and praise you. I was in my right mind, had the activity of my limbs. So we thank you today. We ask you to open our hearts and minds to a fresh revelation of your word. Whatever is accomplished will be carefully give your name the praise and all of these things. So we place it in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Somebody say at home, praise God and amen. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. Go ahead and do me a favor and hit the share button down there on the bottom. The title says, to the chief musician, it says in the Bible. Evidently, there were some songs for other singers, but this song was for the musician that was in charge. This is not a psalm of David, but of the sons of Korah. That's problematic for us because there are four Korahs in the Bible, and one of them rebelled against Moses. This reality need not detain us because the fact that this psalm is included in the inscripturated writings of the Word of God means that it is authorized by God. Being rebellious, praise God, does not disqualify us from being used by God, because if that was the case, then none of us would be used. The song was to be sung by to Alamoth, which may refer to high voices or soprano voices or shrill instrument. The psalm was divided into three parts, and that each end with Selah. Selah is a musical notation which means something like pause or breathe. And I've interpreted theologically to mean take a praise break. Most commentators give warfare as the historical backdrop of this psalm. All of this provides the backdrop for this powerful psalm. Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge in any times of warfare. How much more in this warfare with the coronavirus and now institutional systemic racism and implicit or unconscious bias and all that is involved, there's a warfare going on. The word refuge is a very full word. The symptoms given or the synonyms given are sanctuary, asylum, protection, retreat, harbor, haven, place of safety, hideout. The work suggests not only physical refuge, but psychological and emotional refuge. In war, we need a physical refuge, but we also need a psychological refuge. We need a shelter for our bodies, but we also need a shelter for our souls. We need protection for our bodies, but we also need protection for our minds and our emotions. God is our refuge. The pronoun our distinguishes our refuge from the refuge of those who do not know God. Alcohol is a refuge for some. Shopping is a refuge for others. Which one do you want to put in there? Put yours in there wherever you want. But God is our refuge. Came about one day that the hymn writer Augustus M. Toplady was walking some distance from his home and was caught in a sudden violent storm. There was no shelter nearby. But the Reverend Toplady spied a huge cleft running down the ledge beside the road. He took refuge there, and he was protected from the storm. He thought while there of the spiritual significance of the experience. God is a refuge from the storms of life. Reaching down to the ground, he picked up the only thing he could find, an old playing card, which he then pinned upon the surface of that playing card. These words, don't shout too much, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow from be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. God is our shelter in the storm. God is our shelter in the storms of war. He's not only our refuge, but he's our strength. The Hebrew word also can be translated variously. There's a whole lot of translations for this word. Fortress, power, stronghold, strength. Probably Hebrew parallelism. In the Hebrew poetry, especially in the Psalms and the Proverbs, the Hebrews would repeat certain ideas for emphasis. Y'all know that. But in the African-American church, we got some songs, we just sing the same stuff over and over again. We're getting the emphasis. God is our refuge. God is our strength. But the description of God continues. He's a very present help in trouble. Don't knock that orange juice over. I know you felt the Lord right there. You started to say, oh my God, he's a present help. He's abundantly available for help. When you need help, he is anxiously wanting and waiting to help. This seems to demonstrate that God is emotionally and relationally healthy. He does not rush in and take over. Oh, wait, I better slow down here because all we think, some of us are praying, God is in control. He's doing everything. But right here, he's a present help. He remains abundantly available. There seems to be a type of empathy, and relational psychologists call it holding, the ability to hold a relationship, to listen to a person, and to respect their choices without letting difficult things destroy or cause disconnection in the relationship. You don't run in and take over, but you wait because you are a present help in the time of trouble. The context of the availability is given in the next phrase, in trouble. Has anybody here ever been in trouble? Oh, for a minute I looked around, I thought you were here. And been in trouble. The Hebrew word means straits, distress. God is most available when we're in distress. Now, to understand distress, stress is pressure or tension in our lives that is caused by certain events. Stress has a physical an emotional and a chemical factor. Stress causes tension. And stress is not good or bad, it's just necessary. It is our response to stress that is either good or bad. Our response falls into two categories. Eustress, the kind of stress to which we feel motivated and ready to take action. If you didn't have certain stress, you wouldn't get up and go to work. I wish I had some amen, Brother Gordon is there. You wouldn't get up, but the stress says, if I don't go, I'm not going to have any money. That stress makes you get up. Distress is a stress to which we fail to make an adequate adaptation, such as self-image pressure. God is a very present help, abundantly available in times when we have failed to make an adequate adaptation. Many of us have failed to make an adequate adaptation to the stress of the coronavirus. We fail to make an adequate adaptation to the physical distancing and the stay-at-home order. We fail to make an I'm going to run now. You should be shouting right about now. We fail to make an adequate adaptation to the loss of our rituals during the stay-at-home order. We fail to make an adequate adaptation to the fear of the virus. We fail to make an adequate adaptation to the injustice that we've experienced, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God is abundantly available when we are in distress, when we are in trouble. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago, so I better make sure you know he's available. Look behind you and see if you can see that dog of mercy, goodness and mercy, following you, trying to lock on to you, trying to keep up with you, because he wants to prosecute, follow you, and give you goodness and mercy. He's abundantly available. Let's go on to that next verse, 46:2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. I'm so glad I got House of the Lord, folks. If you're not a House of the Lord person, you listen, we're glad to have you. That therefore, when I say therefore, you should ask, what is it therefore? It's therefore because God is our refuge and strength, we will not fear. Fear is an emotion that anticipates pain or danger and habituates into fight, flight, or freeze. And although fear is a virus that is contagious as the coronavirus, let me stop for a minute. Do you hear what I said? Fear is as contagious as the coronavirus. We will not fear. We will not be overwhelmed with fear or anxiety because God is our refuge and he's our strength. Though the whole world is being reset. At home, would you say that? Say reset. Everything's being reset. With respect to racism and prejudice, we will not fear. The psalmist gives us a series of conditions that precipitated fear in his time. Condition number one, though the earth should change, and the earth is thrown into a state of confusion. It can't get much more confusing or frightening than where we are right now. The physical earth that we live on quakes with change. Now, whether that's earthquakes, tornadoes, or hurricanes in their time, Palestine was frequently the subject of earthquakes. I've never been in an earthquake. We don't have them much in Ohio. But in California, I have some friends. They tell me it is frightening when the very ground itself is moving. Because where you gonna run when the ground is unstable? Can it be any more unstable than where we're at right now? Coronavirus, stay at home, economy torn up, people marching around the world. Second condition, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, Mount Moriah stood at the center of a group of hills. These hills represented what the Romans called Palestine. It was the province of the Israelites, and it would generate fear if those hills would slip into the sea. We move on to the next verse, Psalm 46:3. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. The psalmist continues with two more conditions that precipitate fear. Third condition, though its waters roar and foam. Even though the waters or oceans are in an uproar, often in the Bible, waters refer to nations. So even though the ocean is in an uproar, even though the nations are in an uproar, remember, the historic basis of this psalm is war. So the roaring and foaming nations could refer to the warlike action of nations around them. I mean, we are living at such a unique time that the nations of the world are in an uproar concerning COVID-19, in an uproar. But now the nations of the world are in an uproar over the killing of unarmed black citizens. I mean, who could predict this? Who could even think that it was coming? But it's the world is in an uproar. Certain powers want to stop the protest. Certain powers are militarizing folks to stop the protest, but it goes on anyway, and it seems to be swelling. What's the outcome going to be? I don't know, but it might frighten you, but we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength. Fourth condition, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, though the mountains quake while the oceans surge. There's probably another bit of Hebrew parallelism. So the four conditions could not cause them to fear because God was their refuge and their strength. I don't know about you, but if you sit home and watch that TV and you start going from channel to channel, you mess around and get fearful. You'll mess around and start to have some issues as you go from this channel to that channel to that channel. And they're all talking about the stuff that is going on from their various perspectives. So the other day I was on CNN and I turned over to Fox and I turned to CNBC. And when I got done with that, I said, let me just turn it all off. Because God is my refuge and my strength. Neither earthquakes, nor mountains sliding into the sea, nor the roaring of the sea, nor any of those things can keep me or cause me to fear. We will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. That is what the psalmist said here, sons of Korah. Though the coronavirus is causing the earth to shake, though the stock market is sliding into the sea, though physical distancing is quaking in our lives, though we're concerned about the leadership of this country, though everybody isn't getting their check, unemployment and job security and relational tensions and racial injustice. But the text says, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. Now, are y'all ready at home? I need you to take a praise break. Breathe and consider the source of ever-ready help and shelter that you have in God. When everything else fails, you have a shelter. Already the reality of God's help reaches your heart. And when it reaches your heart, you need to praise God, because that praise will activate the reality of him being a shelter in the time of storm. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Can I pray for you today? Maybe you know him and maybe you don't. And if you don't know him, then you need to know him. And you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for every sin that I've sinned against you. Come in my life. Save me. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. I receive you as Savior and Lord. If you pray that, it's a heart transaction between you and God. We're going to take communion in just a moment. You can signify it in that way. If you need a church home, you can do. You can join. They'll give you some text to join information, but you can do that through communion also. And those of us who are just saved and already members and or just watching from another church, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're on. I made a special dispensation as a bishop. Did you know bishops can make special dispensations? That you don't have to have a kit in order to take communion. Just water or whatever you got, a wafer, a cookie, whatever you got, we're going to take this communion. This is the image, the action, the preaching, the visual sermon of what it means for Jesus to die on the cross that we might have salvation. If you got what you need there, take it and break it and break off a piece of it, because you are eating. Oh, think about what he's done for you. Think about how he nourishes you day by day. It's different for us than those who are unsaved. If you're unsaved, I'm not sure what your source of strength is. But when you're saved, God is our refuge. He's our strength. 2,000 years ago, he was crucified. Spirit in the side, out came blood and water, the basis of our salvation. Wherever you are, home, in the car, would you take and drink? I need you to thank God for a moment, because without him, where would you be right now? When I look back over my life, I recognize that it had it not, the psalmist said, been for God on my side, I have no idea where I would be right now. Well, let's make that affirmation, make some positive stuff, so we can say some things that are positive and get that positive into our life. Are you ready with your phone or your offering or whatever you got? As we give today's offering, we are believing the Lord for discernment, safety from infection, deliverance from fear and social isolation, job security, grocery resources, medical resources, psychological resources, unemployment resources, spiritual resources, concern for others, trust in you, emotional peace, spiritual peace, a commitment to prayer, healing and divine health. It's offering time. Somebody say hallelujah wherever you are. Oh, I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. Thank you. Continue to give electronically. I think we're getting closer now to coming back and trying something out. I don't know. They're opening the amusement park. If you're going to go to the demon drop, we might as well come to the heaven lift. You might as well come on in to the church if we're going to do that. But we'll let you know how and when. Some of us are giving automatic withdrawal, some text to give, some push pay. Whatever you're doing, we're glad. Drop it off in the mail or mail it to us, or drop it off the church. Or we'll come get it. Thanks for your faithfulness. Don't forget, we're streaming live to the Facebook page, YouTube channel, and to our website. Sermons are saved there after the live stream. And if that's too much for you, or you don't have that technology, sermons on demand through the conference line. I'm still telling people, because some folks are just figuring it out. They just shouting. They ain't figured it out yet. Did you know we got a new loan? Did you figure that out yet? That we've been searching for years and years. I know I have. But the Westfield Bank has come through for us on God's, because of God's behalf. And we are saving. We're going from $46,000 a month to $26,000 a month as a payment. That you should have did an Irish jig right there. You should have, I don't know, what dance were they doing when you were coming up? I don't know. You should have did whatever that was. This means that we're trying to leave a legacy to the next generation. I'm excited about that. We'll be able to create a cushion or margin, so we won't be sitting on pins and needles. I won't. We'll be able to put some more money in the ministry, and we'll be able to pay off that mortgage quicker. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. He's worthy. I was part, just so you're aware, of a Zoom conversation with Tim Armstrong, pastor of the chapel, Jeff Bogue, pastor of Grace Church, Kent Boyd, director of Love Akron. It's going to be played this evening at 7 p.m. from Grace's Facebook page and their YouTube channel. We did send some of it around, so you might see it. We're trying to send it out so you can get the link. You don't have to wait till 7 tonight, but that's when it's going to be aired. There's also an ad, should be in the Beacon Journal today, with Pastor Tim Armstrong and myself, standing for justice, standing for love. I'm going to give, I told you, some commentary on what's going on around the death of George Floyd, but it's too fluid. I'm waiting for the right moment before I speak, because I thought one thing was happening. I kept watching. Another thing is happening. It's very complex. It's not simple. But we are standing at the crossroads, and that crossroads requires a pause, some confusion that many are unwilling to acknowledge. If somebody's telling you, I know what we ought to do now, I know what we ought to do next, they must not be paying attention. I'm pausing in confusion, in discernment, in prayer, in consideration, but I know this, God seems to be using these events to bring about the advance of a kingdom agenda of reconciliation. I don't think he caused it, but he's bringing it about. And so he is our refuge and he is our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. I believe you can carry that with you wherever you go. And so today, what better song to sing at the end than to say, I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me, agree with me, agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to divide. I'm gonna need you. I'm gonna see you pretty soon. I need you. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need, be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. If we're gonna make it, we gotta pray. I pray for you. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you. With words from my mouth. With words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to. Come on, sing so I can hear you. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you. With words from my mouth. What? I love you. I need you to survive. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Have a great week this week. I'm praying for you. Remember, no matter what you face, God is your refuge. He's your strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Have a great day. God bless you.